week in Missouri politics. Early week update, early midweek update, early week update. Just, gosh, starts at 6 a.m., right, voting? So we're 14 hours out. We will see what happens. Let's make sure everybody has a second to get in here. You'll see me in my traditional construction worker day before election attire. Those of you that haven't been to the New World Headquarters yet or came last session, you're going to love it when you do come here at the end of the week or later. We have a terrific construction going on. Let's just jump right into it here. The Judy from Fulton, Stein of Knowledge. I needed one this week. Thank you. Sent me a beautiful set. Very grateful. Governor's race, I'll stick with my prediction. You know, we take this week in Missouri politics on Friday. I'm sticking with it. Governor by 8. If it's kind of like Price is Right betting, if I was going to bet higher or low, I'd bet he comes in higher. But we'll see. I'm pretty confident he'll be back in the back moving down the street here next week. Let's talk about Trump. Look, I've always said these are very closely tied together. I say Trump comes in with a 10 points. I'm going to stick to 10. I just think it's heading that way. And here's the dynamic of it. Let's talk about the state. It's the Boone County Senate seat is the best way to do this. It's possible that Judy Baker could win, but Chuck Basie and Sheree Trollson Rice also win. I think it's so targeted to how you view COVID, how you view Trump, how you view politics right now. It is micro-targeted for where you live. If you live in a city, if you live in the city of Columbia, then you want a mask order and you're probably voting a pretty straight ticket Democrat. If you live in a, even in the county, even in a little exurb, let's call it, that's a lot of Republicans and Trump folks. You don't want to be told what to do. You want to make your own choices. And you're probably Republicans. So I think it's real laser focused. Let's walk through the, I'm a believer that while some of you watching this will say, I hate Trump, tell me where you live. And I bet I won't be surprised based on your opinion on Trump. I think people, you know, nationally, I believe Trump wins Missouri by 10. Keep in mind, Biden had Ambassador O'Malley and Patrick Lynn pretty much was the campaign there. They didn't really invest here. They've invested in some other states, and that lack of investment will show. If they'd invested in here and ran a campaign here, might have tightened that up. It might have been a five-point race. I think Nicole Galloway needed that. And the other battlegrounds, I mean, here's the thing. If you'd have lost Missouri by 5 instead of 10, and you lost Pennsylvania by 1 vote in the presidency, a lot of finger-pointing, right? In my view, Minnesota is a wild card. If I'd have had riots that burned down half a town in Missouri, I think I'd be pretty easy to persuade to vote Trump. So I think Minnesota could be interesting. Wisconsin, Michigan, the Democrats actually ran campaigns there. I think they're going to win them. Pennsylvania has been this wild card state for a while. I mean, it's been a little more swingier. I think it may be a little more swingier. But we'll see. I certainly don't pretend to have the certainty on that. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Continuing to pivot forward through here. I would say Biden's the president of the United States. That's what Stein of Knowledge tells me. I would say Donald Trump would be pissed off about it. And probably so is my dad. If I had to guess, have you ever seen Citizen Kane at the end? When he runs for governor and loses, they have two headlines sitting there at the Herald. One is Kane elected in landslide. Another one was fraud at the polls. And they said, I guess there's only one headline to go with, and holds up fraud at the polls. My assumption is what Trump does. I have got a kick out of Trump. I think he's called some people assholes that I believe are assholes. But I think was probably could only take the game that he was playing so far. He took it further than anybody else thought he could. He can leave the presidency feeling good about some things. I think the tax cut was effective. Economy was good. Some judges. Lots of judges. But other than that, you know, yeah, there'll be people that'll... He pissed off CNN. I'm going to hate CNN. I'm depressed if Trump loses. Because CNN's going to go back to being just liberal. Not just whiny, whiny liberal. I love that Acosta, that Jake Tapper, oh my, I love it. They just cry and whine. and it is great. It is like, I bottle those elitist tears. I love it. That's the thing about Trump. He hates all the people you hate, and all the people you hate hate him, and it makes for a heck of a compelling narrative sometimes. But I think it's over probably tomorrow night. I don't believe it'll be some huge protracted fight. I think it'll be probably you're gonna know. You know, you'll kind of figure out what's up by 9 or 10. By midnight, you'll know. Whether you concede or not, you'll know. There's not going to be some, always going to stay in office. That's just for liberals that need stuff to whine about. You have Corona. Whine about Corona. COVID, whatever. Wuhan. Statewide ticket. Look, I think Kehoe's going to win by a solid number. Probably similar to the governor. Schmidt has the potential to maybe beat that number a little bit. Jay Ashcroft could lead the ticket. Fitzpatrick, maybe right in there with Keel, maybe a step behind. That was a nomination that a lot of Democrats wanted. They thought Fitzpatrick made the most beatable Republican statewide. As it turns out, I don't think any of them were beatable at all. If your national ticket doesn't play here, you might steal a governor's race here. And again, you're not going to, very hard to steal a down ballot race if your national party's written you off. The state house, I mean, look, you could absolutely look and see and track back this cycle. The House Republicans didn't have nearly the money, didn't have the organization. I read a thing in Dreams that they weren't united. I think it's so micro-targeted, though. The Trump love and hate lines are very stark. I think they'll lose a seat or two. I don't think it'll be a watershed. I don't know that it's due to the management wonder that has befallen House Republicans. I think it just may be where you're Republican, you're damn Republican, and where you're not. And there's only going to be a few seats caught in that line of I'm really. It's going to be the problem when you do a clean Missouri map. Democrats are very Democratic, they're very clustered, and they all are sincere and tough. You're going to have to really draw some ugly districts to divide to pick up another 10 or 15 House seats without the national party coming in helping and actually making this competitive. In the Senate, I think Beck's going to win. Linehan, good race, good guy, good team. Wrong year, maybe wrong district even. Lavender, I've always thought this was too close to call. You know, I would rather be Lavender than Koenig. Boone County. I think it's not a knowledge for us to name it Boone County. Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up probably. Republicans, if they don't have Caleb Rowden tomorrow night, they won't realize it for about 3 or 4 months, and they'll miss him like all hell. What a statesman, what a senator. And if he wins, there's not another soul in Boone County that could have won that race. With Caleb Rowden, and if he loses and it's close, not another soul in Boone County could have ran against Donald Trump in 2020 in Boone County and even held it close. So that race has been moving away from Republicans, not Caleb Rowden, from Republicans for a while. I was in Cooper County. You know, Cooper County is going to be your average county, right? Republican county, usually, you know, 80, 20, 70, 30 Republican. It's going to ebb like a lot of places. You're going to see that five. It's not going to be. It's going to be the McCaskill swing, right? The people who would vote McCaskill in Cooper County that maybe didn't vote for Democrats all the time, she would pick up that 5, 6, 7% margin. And while it wasn't that many numbers of votes in Cooper County, there's a bunch of counties like Cooper County. And she would overperform 5, 6 points, and there she'd be. I think all Democrats are going to see that shift a little bit. And part of this, keep in mind, look, part of this is because Republicans have won a bunch of seats they shouldn't have won during Obama and Obamacare and Hillary Clinton being the nominee and then the Kavanaugh debacle. Democrats have just found ways to piss off Missouri voters. And I think maybe with Joe Biden, they finally found a way to shut the hell up and let some Democrats come home in Missouri. And I think you see that in some statehouse gains. And I think Columbia could be one of those. Now, it's not too late. I guess somebody could say Amy Coney Barrett signed someone's yearbook and they could find a way to screw themselves. But if they've got the left-wingers locked up in a cellar somewhere for another, 11 hours and 49 minutes. And on election day, they could continue that. I think they're going to be, I think they're going to be in a strong spot, to be honest with you. Ann Wagner, Jill Shoup, boy, I it's hard to see, the second not sticking with Ann Wagner. Ann Wagner just so much like that district. I know the political reports moved it to a Democrat. I'm going to just stick with mine. I think Ann's going to come through. I think she'll come through. I think it'll be close. I think this will be the last race called. It'll be extremely, extremely tight. The other members of Congress will be fine. If you were the conventional wisdom is the state house probably loses 3, 4, 5 Republicans, keeps that veto-proof majority by whisker. I think probably they do better than that just because of where the districts are that are in they're competitive. State Senate, it started the cycle out at 24-10. Conventional wisdom would say it's 22-12 tomorrow night. I would still hold out that Caleb Browden is just too damn good of a senator to bet against. He's won a lot of races he shouldn't have won. I also think the Koenig race, the Beck race probably never materialized in this year. The Koenig race, I think Lavender had created some separation. I don't know, 4 or 5 points. Then I think the money came. And when the money came, that race has been tightening in Koenig's direction. Does it tighten enough by election day tomorrow? Don't know the answer to that. But I think it has been tightening, to be fair. While I'd still rather be Lavender than Koenig, I would rather be Lavender a week ago than Lavender today, but still I think I'd rather be Lavender than Koenig. And again, Andrew Koenig has won as one races out there unopposed. I mean, relatively his whole career, that area has changed. I don't know that Andrew Koenig has changed. I saw him out knocking doors like a wild man, doing what he does. Amendment 3. There's a hillbilly in West Butler County, and there's a senator from Springfield that said, why are you doing something that you're not going to fund? They did it. They didn't fund it. It's going to go down. Very predictable. The governor's race, I really think if you look at two good candidates, they both ran pretty bland, straightforward blocking and tackling campaigns. Nicole Galloway's campaign did feel like a cookie-cutter Washington DGA campaign that worked one state, so they did it another state. She had to overperform. Some of the DGA races, if you just get all the Democrats, 95% of the Democrats, and then you get 2/3 of the independents, you win. That's not true, Missouri. You need 95% of the Democrats, you need 70% of the independents, and you need about 10-20% of the Republicans. So the cookie-cutter DGA campaign didn't work. Mike Parson may have ran a bland, kind of safe, boring campaign. What would you do if you were up 10 points from the start? Probably run a safe, bland, boring campaign. I don't think Mike Parson, when he goes and talks about how he's going to do radical stuff, that's not who he is. It doesn't sound good because he didn't mean it. When he sounded good, that was a great line. Him and Kehoe both. There was a NARAL fundraiser at 11 on a Sunday. Now in Manhattan and in Santa Barbara and Palm Beach, that's fine. Who cares, right? Good. Have your 11 o'clock abortion fundraiser. That does not go over well. Not even just in Poplar Bluff and Palmyra. That doesn't go over well in Lee Summit. That doesn't go over well in Clayton. It's the governor and lieutenant governor were in church with their wives in Lee Summit, and there was a free cocktail fundraiser or something for that. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I'm sure if you're from, you know, Beverly Hills, that doesn't strike you as odd, but. Let's be honest, if you're from Butler, Missouri, that does strike you as odd. And we'll see. There's a difference between Beverly Hills and Marble Hill. Very different people. And that was a good line. But, I mean, the governor ran the campaign. He should have ran. It was a terrific campaign. And, frankly, he didn't need to run a tough campaign. He needed to run a very safe campaign. He did. Nicole Galloway's one needed to run the over-the-top, you know, campaign. They never hit him on the China stuff. That worked so well against Schaefer. The China, there's the thing where they did for Smithfield, a Chinese company owns them. Never happened, so go figure. Patrick Shami, Rizzo will get a lot of credit tomorrow night if it goes a hold of a competitive seat and two pickups. Patrick Shami with his kind of worked with him will help. Amendment 3, I mean, yeah, now the Democrats can draw a pretty rough map and they can say, well, folks voted for it twice. So if I'm some Republicans aren't complaining, I'm like, well, you kind of did this to yourself a little bit with this screwball campaign that you didn't fund. Dirk Deaton, the new House Vice Chair of Budget. Normally the way that works would be the budget chair. Good for him. Hardworking guy. Pays attention. Show Missouri's in Franklin County. Took my man Gussie with me. Tim Brinker, Dave Henson. Had a heck of a time talking all things Franklin County. The first, not the Anheuser-Busch Brewery. It's the Anheuser Brewery was in Washington, Missouri. The first one. It's not like the VFW home. Home for some veterans, I believe. The Labadee Cave story is always good. Everything about Franklin County. You talk about a place that is blowing up. It's going to be Franklin County. You can get out of St. Louis, you probably are, and Franklin County, just down 44, it is going to be, it's the time to own land in Franklin County. Tomorrow night, look for a live stream. We'll do a live stream of the polls. How about that? We'll pop open a Bud Light, and we'll do a live stream. I think we're going to be here in Jeff City. Now, we plan to be in St. Louis. I think we're going to switch that up and be here. So, we will bring you all, like every time, the calls, when the racers, we'll call them. We don't miss. We'll call spot on every time. You can wait to learn about it from other people, or you can trust your old hillbilly. He's got his gut ready to go. It's puffed back out a little bit since COVID. We'll drink a little Stein of knowledge, and we'll celebrate election night, as you have for a long time, with your capitalist alternative, the Missouri Times. Thank you, guys. We will see you tomorrow night.